The following message was recorded at New Beginnings Church in Slidell, Louisiana. Please feel free to duplicate and share this message as you feel led. And you are invited to visit us at New Beginnings Church at 330 Robert Boulevard, Slidell, Louisiana, 70458. Our Sunday services start at 10 a.m. and our Wednesday evening services at 7 p.m. If you have any questions, call us at 985-781-4663. And may God richly bless you as you listen to this message. Okay, it's your turn, Bob. We all know Bob Riles. I think the topic is going to be very appropriate today. The spirit of poverty. Bob, thank you.
Thank you, Brother Jim.
Give me a second to get back there.
It's just always a joy to be with you guys. It never ceases to amaze me how God orchestrates things. The praise and worship, your prayers from your heart, the message that I believe God gave me for today. He just kind of orchestrates all these things. As Jim said before, all things work together. And I'm not sure there's anything more beautiful than just an open heart before God. Your prayers, your testimony, your open lives, just a willingness to be real. Not bringing in a false face, not bringing in something from the outside world just to put on your church face and play church this morning. But rather just a willingness to come before God, opening our hearts and our lives before each other as we open our hearts and lives before God. It's just an awesome experience, and I'm so glad to be here. It's a privilege always to speak God's word, and I just pray that you will find your message for today in the things that we speak. Is it me making the feedback, or is that something else? Just keep going. Okay, I'll just keep going, y'all. As always. This morning I want to talk to you about something that I've called the spirit of poverty. You know, we're living in hard times. We're having difficulties in our lives. We prayed about some of those things this morning. Maybe they were things that you didn't pray about that's on your heart and mind. But these are hard times that we're living in. Things all around us are seem to be causing problems. And I'm finding something that I'm calling a spirit of poverty because I'm finding that we're living in a time where we're constantly in fear of things. Fear of what's next. Fear of how we're going to resolve these issues. And fear begins to overtake us. And I want to tell you that fear is not what God has for us. This is not of God when we experience this fear. And I want to declare to you this morning that the Master, Jesus Christ, is on his throne. That he is in charge. Nobody has taken that away from him or taking that away from us. I want to tell you that Jesus is there loving you, healing you, caring for you, and making your life be what he would have it to be, and not anything that's happening around us can affect any of that. First of all, let me tell you what I'm not talking about this morning. In Matthew chapter 5, we find the Beatitudes, and in verse 3 it says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." I'm not talking about poor in spirit when I talk about poverty this morning. Because this poor of spirit that's found in the Beatitudes is maybe said in a different way in the New Living Translation, which says, "God blesses those who are poor and realize their need for him." God is God. He is on his throne. He has given you and I gifts. He's given us abilities. He's given us talents. He's taken care of us in every way. And he's done all of this for one reason: that we might love him, that we might praise him, and that we might serve him. We can be grateful for the talents that he's given us, and we can use them, and his talents add to our lives in a magnificent way. But you know what? If we gave all of those talents up tomorrow, if we just let them go in his service and let him go in his care, it would still be a good thing, because he's still on his throne. He's still the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. The spirit of poverty that is a spiritual spirit is a dependence upon God. It maybe it can be said in this way, in short, the poverty of spirit that we find in the Beatitudes is an emptying of ourselves so that God can fill us with life and fill us with love. Well, this is not the spirit of poverty I'm talking about this morning. That's the good side. Let me talk about something else. The spirit of poverty I'm talking about this morning is this fearful attitude. It's an attitude that says that I am never the problem. When things happen in our life, we're always looking for somebody else to blame it on. We're the victim. Oh, this happened to me, but it's not my fault. Oh, that happened to me, but it's not my fault. We say things, you're critical of those people who teach and preach about the blessings of God. People who live with the spirit of poverty don't think that a man or a woman can live in abundance and still be part of God's kingdom. And you're suspicious of those people around you that maybe they're going to take your money away from you. When it's time to put money in the offering plate, you're suspicious about what happens to that. Am I giving this to the pastor? Or am I giving this to God and to his kingdom? That people with, I'll just say, small minds, people who are just jealous when other people get blessed. Well, they got blessed. How come I didn't get blessed? God loves them. But, you know, six-year-old stuff. And you go to bed at night worrying about money. Where's it going to come from? What's going to happen? And you can't believe that God really wants to bless you. These are some of the symptoms, if you will, that I see a part of this spirit of poverty. And there's two scriptures that I can call to mind. One of them is in Mark chapter 11, verse 23. It says, we shall have whatever we say. And if you're constantly going around moaning and whining and complaining that God is not taking care of my business, that my life is so bad, it's so miserable all the time, but it's not my fault. Because we say these things all the time, the scripture says you get what you say. In Proverbs 23:7, it says, as a man thinketh, so is his heart. If you think the negative, if you think fear, if you think the ugly all the time, if that's where you dwell in your thinking, that's probably what you're going to get. Because God's word says so. What you dwell on, what you think about, what you say with your mouth comes back to get you. Amen? God meant for his children to prosper. God meant for you and I to do well in this life. And it's a lie of Satan when he tells us that you'll be a better Christian if you have nothing. That if you suffer all the time, you'll be a better Christian. So just let things be bad in your life. Don't do anything about it. And you'll be a better Christian from that. He tells us, Satan tells us that we're not worthy. That when God does give us a word, when God does give us a job to do, that we don't step up and do it. Because, well, I'm not worthy. I can't do that. This is, you know who this is, Bob. You know, it's just Bob. He's not anybody. You know, God, you can't possibly. Let's call Denise. Let's call Tom. Now, Tommy's a good choice. God, let's give it to Tommy to do because he's a better choice than Bob. Oh, we'll give it to George, because these guys can do stuff. Satan wants us to believe that we're unworthy people, that we're not talented, that we're not gifted. This morning I want to look at God's attitude towards what I'm calling this morning the spirit of poverty. The scripture, I think, is pretty clear. The picture is not pretty. If you will, turn with me to Matthew 25, beginning in verse 14, and I think you may recognize this as the parable of the talents. If you bear with me, I'm going to read the whole parable because it bears repeating this morning. Beginning in verse 14, it says, again, it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his wealth to them. To one, he gave 5 bags of gold, and to another, 2 bags, and to another, 1 bag, each according to his ability. It wasn't too much, and it wasn't too little. It was exactly what that person was capable of taking care of and capable of handling. Then he went on his journey. And the man who had received 5 bags of gold went at once and put his money to work and gained 5 more bags. So also the one with 2 bags gained two more. But the man who had received 1 bag went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid the master's money. After a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. The man who had received 5 bags of gold brought the other 5. Master, he said, you entrusted me with these 5 bags of gold, and see, I've gained 5 more. The master says, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful in a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. The man with 2 bags of gold also came. Master, he said, you've entrusted me with 2 bags of gold. See, I've gained 2 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful in a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. Then the man who had received 1 bag of gold came. Master, he said, I knew you were a hard man, harvesting where you had not sown and gathering where you had not scattered seed. And so I was afraid. Mark, afraid. And went out and hid your gold in the ground. See, here is what belongs to you. And the master replied, you wicked and lazy servant. So you knew that I harvest where I had not sown and gathered where I had not scattered seed. Well then, you should have put my money on deposit with the bank so that when I return, I would have received it back with interest. So take the bag of gold from him and give it to the one who has 10 bags. For whoever has will be given more, and they will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken from them. Throw the worthless servant out into the darkness where they're weeping and gnashing of teeth. You're familiar with the parable. 3 people. 2 did right. 1 didn't do so hot. The one that didn't do so hot kind of got in trouble. And Jesus says, we'll cast him out into the darkness with his weeping and gnashing of teeth. Jesus said the 3rd man was lazy and wicked. I have always focused on that to be lazy and wicked. And that was my thought about the whole thing. And then as I was preparing and thinking about this, I began to read another version of the scriptures. And I'd like to read the message. And it kind of focused a little differently for me. And I'd like to read it to you, beginning in verse 24 to the end there. And it causes me to have a little different thought. That's something we can maybe hang on to this morning, and maybe something that'll help us. It says, a servant given 1,000 said, Master, I know you have high standards and hate careless ways, that you demand the best and make no allowance for error. I was afraid I might disappoint you, so I found a good hiding place and secured your money. Here it is, safe and sound, down to the last cent. And the master said, hear these words, because I'm going to repeat them several times. That's a terrible way to live. It's criminal to live cautiously like that. If you knew I was after the best, why did you do less than the least? Oh, less than the least. The least you could have done would have been to invest the sum of money with the bankers, where at least I could have gotten a little interest. Take the 1,000 and give it to the one who risked the most, and get rid of this play it safe who wouldn't go out on a limb. Throw him out into the other darkness. What a powerful understanding. What a powerful understanding. First of all, Jesus has given each of us talents and abilities. And that's what I want to relate to this morning, is what the things that Jesus gave to us, that he's entrusted to us to use. These are gifts that are in accordance with your ability. He did not give you more than you can handle. He did not give you more talents and abilities than you can actually put into action. He gave you just what you need. Not too little, not too much. The talents that you have are just what you need. It's simply our part, without the need for us to compare and judge each other as to the importance in the kingdom. At one point, he gave one man 5, and he gave another man 1. If we looked at it, he said, well, maybe the 5 guy has more ability, and the 1 guy doesn't have so much ability. Well, let me tell you something. That doesn't make any difference at all. Because that's us judging the difference. What he's saying is, I gave him 5, and it's for him to do his job and the 1 to do your job, but it's not up to us. Every one of these things are important. If any person does not fulfill their part, it simply does not get done. And there's a hole that's left, and it's the hole that you and I ought to be filling. It's the things that you and I ought to be doing. Every part needs to be done. The second thing I noticed in this thing is that is the lazy person. You know, I've never considered myself a lazy person. Before I got saved, you know, before I knew Jesus, I like people. I get up and go to work every day, tried to make money, tried to do things in life, try to use the abilities, you know, that I had. And consequently, because I've never personally been what you would call a lazy person, wicked, I got that part down good, but I didn't do too well with the lazy part. You know, I looked at the scripture and I said, well, that doesn't really apply to me. What he's saying is we can't be lazy in this whole thing. I didn't realize that he was really not talking about lazy as much as he was talking about fear. I saw something different that caused me to rethink my relationship with Christ, and a demon that kept me from doing more for Jesus. The third man would have the ability to manage his giftings. Putting the money in the bank to collect interest surely would have been within his understanding and within a possibility. He could have done that. That's not too hard to work out. Yet he did nothing. And he confessed that he didn't want to disappoint the master. This does not make sense to me. If he did nothing because he didn't want to disappoint the master, wouldn't it at least been better to, like he said, to put it in the bank? Don't you think the master's going to find out one day that he didn't do what he said he was going to do? Did you think the master was never going to come back? Did you think he was never going to check? Each one of us is required to use the giftings, even if we begin with a spirit of fear that God gave us to do. An athlete, the first time an athlete runs out on a track and there's a stadium full of people out there, the first time he runs out, there's got to be a lot of fear. You got to be concerned that, will I trip? Will I run? Will I win? Will I lose? If I'm a hurdler, will I get over the hurdles without falling down? But you know what? The more you do it, the more you practice, the better you become at it, and the fear goes away. I was thinking about that with Roe this morning. He was playing music, as it is with musicians. How did you feel the first time you got up to play in public? Was there a little bit of concern? But the more you do it, the more you use what God gave you, the greater the skill grows and the fear goes away. This morning I saw you get up when Brother Jim was praying, And you just begin on the keys. I don't think you sat there in fear arguing with yourself. You just got up and did it because you know that this is the gift that God gave you. And you used it for the kingdom. Same thing with business and the professions. What business professional would you not want to go to who was well experienced at what he did? If you go to a surgeon, you would certainly say something like, you ever did this before? Have you gone to your doctor and asked them if they ever did this before? Have you ever seen something like this? And he said, no, it's the first time. I read about it once in a textbook. What was that? You know, experience, doing it, using the gifts that God gave you, applying those things gives us the ability. But what stops us? What stops us from doing those things? Fear. Because we don't want to disappoint God. Yet God says, if you don't use the gifts that he gave you, if you're hiding your life under a rock, then what good are you to the kingdom of God? Being a Christian, friends, is not a game that we play. Being a religious person is not a game that we play. We're acting on behalf of the Master, our Lord Jesus Christ, as his ambassadors to this sick and dying world. Every part is necessary, including your part. When we were praying a little while ago, one person prayed that we would have the courage to speak out, the courage to tell people about Jesus in the places that we go and the things that we do. It's important. Because Jesus would say to us, not to do that. It's a terrible way to live your life. It's criminal to live so cautiously that you would not risk speaking the words of life to somebody who needed to hear it. If you knew that I was asking your best, why would you do less than the least? Maybe God's not calling you to be a preacher. Maybe God's not calling you to be the president of a Bible school. Maybe God's not calling you to teach courses in church. But he's calling every one of us to tell people what God did in our lives. You are beautiful people. You are beautiful people. Your testimonies this morning, your transparency, your open heart, that's using what God placed in your life, as Brother Jim was telling us early, the good and the bad. We share those things and we use those things so that our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, might be glorified. And if we have a testimony, God did something, said, well, I don't know. I don't feel worthy to say that. You know, people look at me funny and, you know, I don't want to stand up and talk, and he makes me talk on the microphone and stuff like that. Get over it. Get over it. Get over the fear. Stand up. And just like the athlete, when the more you do it, the more courage you'll have to be able to use the gift that he gave you. And if God is calling you to an extraordinary gift, to become some grand person with 5,000 bags of gold, then go do that. Most of us haven't. Most of us have one or maybe two bags of gold. But you know what? Use what you got. Use what you got. Get over your fear. Speak out. Tell people what Jesus is doing. He said, why would you do less than the least? And my question to you is, why would you do less than the least? Jesus died for your sins. He's building a mansion, a place for you. It's got your name on the doorpost. He's ready to take care of you. Why would you do less than the least for him? Amazing. Making excuses, finger pointing, worrying, not trusting God, worrying about money and not the Master, hiding from life. This is all part of that spirit of poverty. Living in the I can't help it. Living in the whining part of life. Doing less than the least. And finding everything that's wrong around you. It's a terrible way to live. It's criminal to live cautiously like that. If you knew I was after the best, why did you do the least? Scripture says we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. And I have a number of scriptures this morning, and it's amazing when you start looking. You know, when the angels came to speak to different people in the Bible, what was the first word they spoke?
Fear not.
Don't get excited. Chill. Listen to what I have to say. Pay attention. He says, fear not. And then when you look at Scripture, there it's all over the Scripture, because you know why? It's natural to fear. It's normal to fear. And it's what Satan would use to keep us from doing all that God would have us to do. Your ministry outreaching to poor and hungry people. When you started that, did you have to think twice about it? Yeah, no, you did it because God told you to do it. But just driving up to a neighborhood, what are these people going to say? Is somebody going to hurt me? Am I going to have enough? You know, you go through all this stuff, and now you're doing it, and you just go do it, and you do the best you can, and God takes care of the rest. You use what you have, and he says, do not fear. Get out of your selfish zone and begin to do what Christ has already given you the ability to do. Even young Timothy, Paul speaks to young Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 6 to 8. Even for young Timothy, he's encouraging him, and it's just like I'm speaking to you today. He says, I remind you to fan into flames the spiritual gifts that God gave you. When I laid my hands upon you, for God has not given us a spirit of fear. I mean, it says it right there in God's word. He has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but of power, love, and self-discipline. Never be ashamed to tell others about our Lord. Paul's telling this some thousands of years ago to young Timothy. Same thing I'm telling you exactly today. Don't let the spirit of fear get you down. It's not from God. There's a better way. Confess your faith and not your fears. We want to talk about the things that God's doing and what we believe in and not the things that we fear. Job, reading through Job. Hear what Job said. What I always feared has happened to me. He feared it, and all of a sudden it's happened to him. This is chapter 3, verses 25 and 26. What I've always feared has happened to me. What I dread has come true. I have no peace, no quietness. I have no rest. Only trouble comes. This was his confession. This is what I feared all my life. It was going to come, and by golly, it's right here, right now. Mark 11:24 says, I tell you, you can pray for anything, and if you believe that you receive it, it will be yours. Confess God's good things in your life, not what you fear. Lord, am I going to make it home today? Am I going to be in an accident someplace? Oh, Lord, don't let somebody hit my car on the way home. You know, Lord, thank you for who you are. Thank you that I got a car. Thank you that it's working this week. Thank you, Lord, I got gasoline in the tank. Lord, help me to be where you want me to be at just the right time. Confess our faith in Jesus Christ, not the things that you fear. And, of course, a part of this is practicing the Lord's presence. Psalm 23, verses 3 and 4 says, He renews my strength. He guides me along right paths, bringing honor to His name. It brings honor. It brings honor when we live in the presence of God. When we wake up in the morning and say, thank you, Lord, for a new day. Thank you, Lord, it's morning. Thank you, Lord, it's lunchtime. Lord, thank you, it's the afternoon, and maybe I can sneak in a nap. What do you think, Lord? Thank you, Lord, it's almost dinner time. Thank you, Lord, it's been a great day. When we live and practice His presence in all that we say and do, it brings honor to His name. Even when I walk through the darkest valley, I'll not be afraid, for you are close beside me. If we walk in His presence and He is on our mind, it displaces that fear. It displaces our unwillingness to move on when we put Him in our life every moment of every day. In Matthew 28:20, He says, be sure of this, I am with you always, even till the ends of the ages. He's not going anywhere. He's not going to leave you in the lurch. He's not going to give you a gift, give you an ability, give you a spiritual gift, and then not be there to help you use it. We had a word this morning, a message in tongues and interpretation this morning. That the first time that happens, there's always a little fear that comes with that. God, is this of you? But this morning we had a beautiful word from God because he loves us enough and we were all encouraged by what he had to say. He said he'll be with us every moment. And then listen to the word of God. Be encouraged. You know, all of us at some point in time were away from Jesus. And he called us back. And Isaiah 41 verses 9 and 10 says, I have called you back from the ends of the earth. Who is it? This is like he's writing it to us today. He said, I've called you back from the ends of the earth, saying, you are my servant. For I've chosen you and I will not throw you away. Don't be afraid of me. Don't be afraid, for I'm with you. Don't be discouraged, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will hold you up with my victorious right hand. He's with us. He called you back. He said, I didn't call you back to leave you here by yourself. I called you back from this place where you used to be. I brought you in this wonderful fellowship of people to love you and encourage you. And he said, you think I'm going to leave you now? He said, you think I'm going to trust you just to these people? He said, nah, I'm going to entrust you to them, but I'm also going to stay with you. I'm going to be with you. I'm not going anywhere. In 1 John chapter 4, verse 18, it says, we can face him. Who is him? Him is God the Father. He said, we can face him with confidence because we live like Jesus here in this world. Such love has no fear, because perfect love expels all fear. If we are afraid, it is for fear of punishment. And this shows that we have not fully experienced this perfect love. Brother Morris preaches all the time on God's love and his grace and his mercy, and those things push out fear. The fear to live our life, the fear that we will not be all that we can be. And finally, in John 14:27, he says, peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give you as the world gives you. Do not let your heart be troubled, and do not be afraid. He gave us a good life, friends. He gave you talents and abilities, gave you a great church, good people to worship with on a Sunday, good people to do life with. I know the nature of this church, and this church is to do life together. It's not just a meeting on Sunday. It's doing life together. And we need to not be afraid. We need to, lazy and wicked, if that fits your parameters, that's great. But I think the root of the laziness and the wickedness is your fear, is our fear, it's my fear, not to be all that God called us to be, not to reach out, not to love other people, not to forgive ourselves and be gentle to ourselves. I think it honors God that when we're generous in our attitude towards each other. It honors God when we're generous in our own attitude towards ourselves. Give yourself a break. You're not perfect, and you're not going to be perfect anytime soon. But I tell you what, use what he gave you. Use what he gave you without fear that it's going to be all right. He's with you. He loves you. He cares about you. And you know what? There are great things to be accomplished. The downside, if you live in fear and you don't do your part, it's not going to get done. It's not going to get done. Pastor Morris can't do it for you. You're going to have to do it for yourself. Amen? Heavenly Father, we thank you for your precious word. We thank you, Lord, for the encouragement it gives us all to be the best that we can be. The encouragement it gives us all not to be found in a place of doing less than the least, but rather to be called into your presence good and faithful servant. Enter into your master's happiness. Lord, that's where we want to be. We want to be with you, right next to you, doing all that you would have us to do, accepting the free gift of your salvation in our lives, and living a life that honors you. Help us, Lord, that you might be pleased with this day and this hour. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. You can, if you can stand in there for just another minute or two, Bob. Don, go ahead and put that next slide up. Do you all remember when you learned something for the first time, maybe when you were a kid and your dad or your mom or somebody was teaching you how to ride a two-wheeler bike for the first time? You remember? Like he said, wasn't there a little fear and trepidation? But when dad or mom put their arms on that handlebars for you and they walked along with you, didn't that help get rid of the fear and maybe create a sense of excitement? And you didn't have any problems. You know, you wobbled a little bit at first, but the difference was mom or dad were there. Well, look at Ephesians 2:10 says, "For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do works which God prepared in advance for us to do." Why the dickens should we be afraid? He's got his hands on our handlebars. He created us that way. Not only that, he's already created the good works for us to do. We don't have to try and get out there on our own and think, "Well, what am I going to do now?" He's already done it. They're waiting for us to do what? Get up off the couch. Take that step. That's all we got to do. And
Amen.
He's promised us. He's already prepared it. And he's prepared the results. And not only that, he said, "I'm going to make them all work together for good." Hallelujah. I mean, it's crazy to be fearful.
Amen.
For a Christian to be afraid or let the spirit of fear overwhelm them, I believe it's just distrust of God. Just plain and simple. I don't know what else to call it. Heavens.
Was a problem, you know. I mean, really, it was a problem. I mean, every time I would do it, I would just. But then the Lord said, "Would you listen to a thief or a murderer? Would you listen to them and say, look, you did something wrong, and they being a murderer or a thief, would you listen to them? You wouldn't." Well, that time in my life, what I did, I turned away from that. I said, "I don't have no fear of Satan." Because there's no way I should listen to what he's got to say. And it changed my life. That's all I saw, is that I can do. And I should, you know, the fear of Satan coming in and telling me or coming against me, it was just put down. And I tell you what, it changed my life. So that I don't have to fear Satan anymore, because he's nothing to fear. Nothing to fear.
It seems like a lifetime ago when I was actually in the Navy and aboard ship, but we stopped in Naples one time, and there was a Christian Serviceman Center there. It was upstairs above a old, dilapidated-looking building that was probably 1,000 years old or more. And as we walked up the stairs, as you get to the top of the stairs, there was a big poster, almost as big as "It Is Finished" sign over there. Actually a little wider, not quite as long. And you know what that sign said? "God doesn't make junk." That's what it said. And it showed a beer belly guy standing next to a trash can. He hadn't shaved in days or anything else. But the sign said, "God doesn't make junk." That's right. Created by God to be his handiwork. He doesn't create junk. He doesn't create us to have a spirit of fear or timidity. He creates us to be warriors for Christ. Warriors in Christ. Never to be forsaken. Never to be left alone. No matter how
bad it seems around you, God's there with you every step of the way. Precious Lord, thank you again for this opportunity to hear your words of truth and to be strengthened by them as the Spirit reveals your truth and interprets for us all truth, Lord. We're so grateful that you don't even put that burden on us, but rather by your Spirit you reveal truth. Thank you for our brother Bob, his wife Denise. Thank you for the calling you've laid on them and their faithfulness to follow. We're blessed beyond all measure because they were obedient to your word and your calling. And we ask you to continue to bless them, watch over them, not only keep them safe, but continue to make them bold in your word, Father, and refreshed every day, renewed every morning by your Spirit as they see the opportunities, Father, to live out the life of Christ that you've put in them. And I pray the same for each one of us here as we go about our business this day and the days ahead. I just say that we trust in you. We don't trust in horses. We don't trust in chariots. We love our internet ministry. We love the fact that we got a radio station coming, but we don't trust in any of those things. We trust in the Lord God Almighty and his Spirit in us, and we know that you will work all things together for good. Father, we're so grateful, and we just lift ourselves up before your throne of mercy and grace to receive the grace that you give. We thank you. We praise you. Again, lift up Pastor Morris and Pat. Give them a safe journey when they begin their return. But in the meantime, just fill them to overflowing with the joy of your salvation as they experience the life that you've made for them to share with little Izzy and their children, Father. We're just so grateful that you've given Pastor a heart to share the truth and to always share it in love, and we are blessed by it. We lift him up, his family. We lift ourselves up before you to honor you in all we say and do. We ask these things in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen. Amen.